Let's go to John 3. That's always been our starting point, and it's turned, or it just seemed to shift the whole attitude of us as individuals. And if it did it for us as individuals, it did it for the ministry. Because it got our focus back. You know, it says, always let the main thing be the main thing. Well, it's got our focus back on the main thing. Let's read John 3:16 and 17 together. This time I'm in the King James Version. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John 13, verses 34 and 35, it continues that thought. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." How? The same way that he's loved you, that you also love one another. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another." And again, just not that we need to, but just driving home the point in Proverbs 12, in the New International Reader's Version, it says, "Hate stirs up fights, but love erases all sins by forgiving them." What does love do? By forgiving them. Now, we know that the foundation scripture for the series is Romans 12. Paul said, "I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So it makes sense to do that. Then he goes on and says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." How? "By the renewing of your mind." Why? "So you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." See, so we have to go through a process of mind renewal. And again, the only part of this book that I ever read, a book called A Transformed Life, God, it seems like God won't let me read another word from it, but it says, "Personal transformation requires radical change. It has been said that the only thing you can count on in this world is that nothing stays the same. You can change your address, your job, your wardrobe, your friends. You can even change your name. But your life will not transform until you change the way you think." Proverbs 4 reinforces it. It says, "Be careful of your thoughts." Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And I know we've gone over this 16 times, but I'm going to keep saying it until he tells me to stop. Your life is not shaped by the Word of God. Amen. It's not shaped by the Word of God. Your life is shaped by what you think about the Word of God. Because the Word of God is true. You may not think it is. Well, your life will reflect that. I know it is, and my life does reflect that. So we have to understand that our life is shaped by our thoughts, by how we think. I thought Pastor Jesse was going to, you know, I thought I was going to have to come out here this Sunday and just play the CD from Friday. But God has something additional, as he always does. Look at John 10. See, because we have to understand, God placed us here on this planet because he wanted this to continue to be a godly planet. So he put man here, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a few moments. And he gave us everything that we would ever need. He gave us power over the enemy. He gave us wisdom whenever we ask. It's right there available. We don't have to pray and intercede and whine and all that stuff for wisdom. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask. And I will give it liberally. Liberally. So he's given us all of this ammunition. He's given us all of this support. Yet we don't experience victory in every situation. See, God knew some things. How many of you know God's pretty smart? Okay. He knew some things, and he wanted us to know. See, the Bible tells us, thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. I started thinking, I said, now, okay, I would just wonder why God said some of the things that he said. Well, in John 10, verse 10, he tells us, gives us some good information. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But we're going to focus on the first part. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Phillips translation makes it really easy to understand. That the thief comes with the sole intention of stealing, killing, and destroying. I mean, you can't get any, a blockhead will get that. Okay? And God knew that. Well, first of all, who's the thief? That's right. The thief is Satan. And why does he come? Okay, so you know who the thief is. You know why he's coming. What do you do? What do you do? You got word. He's coming. Okay? Or maybe I should say, what should you do? Right? You batten down the hatches. You get ready. You put all your barricades up, and you let him know it ain't happening here, bud. No way, no how. But we don't do that. We don't do that. You know what we do? We unlock our doors, and we turn off the alarm system and go play video games or go to sleep or something. And then we wake up, and next thing we know, all our stuff is gone. And we're trying to figure out what happened. And the first person we seem to get mad with is God. Father, how could you let this happen to me? I'm your child. He's like, I told you he was coming. And I gave you everything you need. So the answer is, why did you let him come? All right. See, as always, he's kind of accelerated me, and that's okay. When God created the earth, he made it perfect. But then something happened. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And when Satan hit earth, earth became void, without form, and darkness went across the face of the deep. And we don't know how many millions of years earth stayed like that until God's plan was ready. And then God said, light be. Amen. And he went about the process of reforming the earth. But he said, I'm going to reform this. And I know that the thief is here. And I know why he comes, so I need something to let him know that he's not welcome. So God made one of these. Okay. God made a private property, no trespassing or loitering sign. Okay? That's what he did. He said, he put this in the garden. Okay. He called it man. man's job was to be the walking, talking, most powerful, no trespassing sign. It says, violators are subject to prosecution. Okay. And Adam had the authority. Any violators were subject to be cast out. Any violators. Why? Because God made us in his image and have to, in his likeness. And what did he give us? Dominion. The legal right to enforce obedience. That's what he gave us. Because he did not want the devil to take over his territory. He didn't want it. So he said, I need to put up a sign to let them know this is my property. And I'm not allowing any intruders. I'm just going to put this right here in plain view. Okay. Okay. So you can just glance at every now and then when you feel like it. But there's some things that we need to understand. See, trespassing means you go on someone else's property without permission. And in New York State, there are three levels of trespassing. You know, the signs we have around here, it's criminal trespass, where you come on the property and you just don't belong there. It's criminal trespass in the third degree. But see, the devil's not really guilty of that all the time. Well, actually, he's guilty of that all of the time, when you think about it, because he will always try and slip on, because the first thing he's going to do is check you out. And if you don't do anything about him being there, then he moves it up to first degree with intent to do bodily harm. You need to understand that. See, symptoms, trespass. Because the symptom, because when you look up the definition of trespass, it means actual or implied. Symptom comes to imply that you're sick and that it's going to do some bodily harm. And we don't take it seriously enough. And then we start winding up developing exactly what the symptom said. Because we sometimes talk it into existence. Or as we talk about Friday, it came in under your radar for whatever reason, but just doing the natural things, getting a physical, eating the right foods, getting exercise, you don't know it's there until it has taken a stronghold. I got a call, it's really funny, I got a call early, Thursday. I got a call on my cell phone from one of our grandchildren, 6 years old, called me from her iPhone. Why she has an iPhone at six is a whole nother story. Okay. But she called me. When I looked and saw who it is, I'm like, why aren't you in school? And when I answer the phone, hi, sweetheart. Why aren't you in school? Okay. You know me, I just get right to the point. And she said, I'm sick. I'm like, who said so? You know. She said, no, I have a fever. I said, sweetheart, I thought you believed in Jesus. I do. I said, then lay your hand on your forehead. She said, okay. I said, are you doing it? Yes. I said, now say this. Body, in Jesus' name, be healed. And she said it. She said, but I have a fever. I said, okay, we're going to take care of that. I said, put your hand back on your forehead. I said, okay. I said, fever, leave in Jesus' name, and body, return to its normal temperature. And so she said it. I said, so according to what Jesus did for you, sweetheart, you're healed. She said, will I be healed tomorrow? I said, no. I said, no. She said, will my fever go away tomorrow? I said, no, sweetheart, your fever is going away tonight. Yesterday, Pastor Ed comes to me and he says, Do you have a family member, child named Alexis? No, no, Pastor Ed came Friday. Right. Thank you, honey. See, don't be so quick to dismiss. He came to me on Friday and he asked me, do you have a granddaughter? I said, yeah. No, sweetie, it was Saturday because she got the service. It was in the morning. It was yesterday. I think whatever it was, the after hours, the service, she called the emergency hotline number. How she got it, I don't know. And the service said, you have a member named Alexis Carr that needs to speak to you right away. Right? So I called her. And I said, sweetheart, what's the matter? And she said, I'm healed, Grandpa. I said, yes, you are. She said, but what was that prayer again? And I said, why? She said, because now Blake has the symptoms. Blake is her little sister. And she said, I don't remember the prayer. And so I told her, and I tell her, and she said, all right, put your hand on your forehead. Say this, okay? Now you're healed. Thank you, Grandpa. Bye. That was it. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Understanding what belongs to her and what she needs to do. So she learned how to use a no trespassing sign. But see, but God put us here and gave us everything that we would possibly need because he knew that the thief was going to come. And when you think about it, when you go through Genesis 1, God gave boundaries. He did. I was looking at it early this morning, and I said, wow, this is amazing. He set boundaries for day and night. He set boundaries between the waters, you know, and the dry land. He set boundaries. God always set boundaries. He said he used lights to divide day from night. And for seasons and for years. And then he looked and said, you know what? Boundaries are a good thing. Okay. But then he gave us some boundaries. Because he gave Adam boundaries. This is your garden. You dress it. You keep it. And I looked up, keep. You protect it. You guard it. You govern it. You be the hedge around it. That's what you're supposed to do, Adam. Look at this. I'm going to read this translation, the Voice translation, because it was really amazing. Let me just get to it. Now listen to this. This is Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28 in the Voice translation. God says, now let us conceive a new creation, humanity, made in our image, fashioned according to our likeness, and let us grant them authority over all the earth, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the domesticated animals, and the small creeping creatures on the earth. Verse 27. So God did just that. He created humanity in his image, created the male and female. Then God blessed them and gave them this directive. Be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth. Now listen to how the Voice translation puts it. I make you trustees of my estate. Okay, right. God said, I make you, man, trustees of my estate. So care for my creation and rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every creature that roams across the earth. So he put us here to handle his business. That's why we're here. We're his trustees. And we have all of... See, when you're a trustee, You have all of the rights of the owner. And you act on his behalf. And he placed us here to be trustees. He placed us here to be the boundaries to ensure that this earth remains holy, godly.
All right.
And when you look at how this earth is, then you can gauge as to whether or not we've been doing our job as his trustee. When you look at how our school systems are being run, when you look at all of the crime rates in the neighborhoods, when you look at the chaos that's in our government, you know, you answer the question, you know, are we doing our job as his trustee? Now, this isn't a beat-up message. This is a wake-up message. Wake up and power up, because we've already been empowered message. Because for too long, we have tolerated things. We've tolerated. Folks, when we moved in here, the people disregarded the pastor's directive that no, you can't park in this lot anymore and go and take the train and stuff. They did anyway. Private property. No trespassing. Made an arrangement with the Clarkstown police. They said, will you sign a complaint? We said, yes, we will. And they regularly come in and check out the parking lot. We gave them permission to hang out on the property. Anybody that comes on this property and there's no service going on, they go over and ask, what are you doing? You know, it's private property, would you leave? And if the person gives them any lip, they will arrest them because they will be trespassing. We did that because this is what God gave us. Now, I was going to do this at the end, but John, can we do this now? Can you put that up? I want to show you something about what happens when you fail to protect your boundaries. This dark red outline, that represents the original territory that God gave Israel. When he said, every place where you tread your feet, I have done what? Given you all this great land through Egypt, through Saudi Arabia, up through Iraq and Damascus. This was the original part of it. But, Mr. Sticks, may I borrow one of your sticks here for a moment? Okay. Just extend my arm here a little bit. But this area, right there, is the size of Israel today. Look at what it is, and look what was originally given to them. Say, what happened? They didn't mark their territory. They didn't protect their borders. And so all of what God gave them, they lost through compromise based on fear, even though God told them something that was extremely significant. He said, no man will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. That's what he said. Now, he say that to me. Guess who's not backing down? I mean, I didn't have that kind of word from God, and I didn't back down from folks. So knowing I have that word from God, now I'm foot to the 10th power, okay, when it comes to messing with something that God gave me. I'm like Brother Copeland. I am. Mess with what's mine, and I'll kill you graveyard dead. Okay. No, I don't play. I'm a sniper. I'm silent now. All right. I get quiet, and the next thing you know, you are no more. Okay. What? Because I'm the no trespassing sign. We've shared that concept. We didn't use that term because I didn't get the term until the last couple of weeks. We shared that concept with all of our sons. Your responsibility is to guide, guard, and govern your household. They are the no trespassing sign. They set and enforce the boundaries. No, you can't come any further. Period. No. I don't care who you are or who you know. I said, no. This is my boundary. Period. Those were the original boundaries. That should be Israel today. Well, Pastor Clinton always told us how, you know, Israel and the church, there's a correlation. Well, God gave us absolute authority. We're in the same boat Israel is. Because we haven't been exercising our authority. We haven't marked our territory. We haven't set the boundaries. And we haven't enforced what we have set. Thank you, guys. You can take that down. Thank you, John. That was last minute. I appreciate what you did. Why am I telling you all of this? I studied, and I still enjoy watching nature programs, especially animal programs, and primarily predators. I don't know why. I don't know why. No, I don't have a predatory nature. Okay. Never did. But I studied predators. And I was just fascinated by how they moved and how they thought and how they acted. And I found out that lions, in particular, but most of the big cats do it and some other species do it. But there's always one dominant male. Always. And his job is to be the no trespassing sign. And so what they do is they walk the borders of their territory and they scent mark it. So anything that comes smells his scent and knows this territory already belongs to someone else. Just go on about your business. It ain't worth it. But see, what the animals do, what lions do, is when the males, the young males, get to 3 years of age, they drive them out of the pride. That's what a family of lions called the pride. And they drive them out so there'll be no inbreeding. So when they get three, okay, you got to go. Parents need to know, not because there's going to be inbreeding, but it reaches a point in time where your children need to go out on their own. Okay. All right. So they drive them out. And so now these lions go on the prowl looking for a family to take over. And what they have to do is they will challenge the dominant male. And if they win, the first thing they do is kill all the cubs. Because they want no trace of the prior ownership. Now let's put a pin right there for a minute. When Adam and Eve sinned, the scent mark for the Garden of Eden was the glory of God. When Adam looked at Eve, he saw the glory of God. When Eve looked at Adam, she saw the glory of God. When the animals looked at them, they saw the glory of God. The glory of God was all over the garden. But the minute they sinned, the glory of God left. Now when Adam looked at Eve, he just saw naked flesh. And he said, I need to cover this. And when she looked at him, she saw naked flesh. And some of the animals looked at them and said, food. Okay. But the glory of God was gone. And now the garden was marked by its new owner. The ground produced thorns and thistles and weeds. The process of replenishing the earth was supposed to be pleasant and pain-free. Now, childbirth was in agony. Why? The territory was remarked because the trustee didn't fulfill his responsibility as trustee. So when the lions come, they kill the cubs because they want only their DNA. And that dominant male's job is to protect his DNA. And so he has to fend them off. Well, in this particular account, four rogue lions showed up. And all four of them sniffed and said, yeah, I know he thinks this is his territory. But all four put their scent marks around the territory. Yeah, just I'm fascinated by how they think, because now it's like, okay, normally he only has to deal with one intruder. Now he knows they're four. So what did he do? He didn't run around the circle praying in tongues. Okay. He didn't contact the next pride and say, I need a prayer partner. Come over here. No, he didn't do that. He didn't pay any attention to what they did. He just simply remarked his territory. He just went back and put his scent back around the entire territory. Then he went looking for them. He knew there were four. Didn't matter. Why? It was his territory. And he went looking for them. And they were hiding. But see, they were also killing and eating. And so all of the normal food was on high alert. Because now you have these other four things. And so the original occupant, they hadn't eaten in 3 days. But this lion kept looking for them. Even though he was hungry, he was a little weakened. And by lion standards, he was middle-aged. He was 8. They lived 16 to 17 years in the wild. So he was middle-aged for a lion. Didn't faze him. He didn't care about his age. He didn't care about being tired. All he knew was there were intruders in his territory. And he wasn't going to have it. So when they made this, they killed these four. They killed a giant wildebeest. Favorite lion food. And in the ruckus of the kill, it located them. And so this lion, this single lion, goes to the kill site. The other four lions see him and immediately get up from eating and start posturing. Wasn't moved by it. He stood tall and he let out like low grunts. I said, he's like saying, you know, now's your time to leave, guys, because if you don't leave, you're about to get hurt. Okay. The minute he started doing that, two of the intruders immediately got up and ran away. Why is that significant? Just your presence standing will drive away intruders, because they see you standing means you are not backing down. So he just stood his ground. And then he did something I thought was amazing. Remember how Psalm 23 says he prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies? If these are the two lions here, he just walked around them, just and not even looking at them. He just looked up, just like they're not even there, just walking around them. Okay? And me, I'm like saying, boy, you don't know what's about to come. If you know what I know, you will leave now, because I'm telling you, it's not worth it. You know? But when his back was turned, because he wasn't looking, one pounced on him. Didn't matter. He did a spin, unsheathed his claws, one swipe, one bite, those other two, he chased off. So now these four intruders run off by one lion who knew his authority, knew what was his, and was willing to stand up and fight for what was his. He was protecting his family, protecting his DNA. He knew what would have happened if he failed. So his attitude was, I'll die fighting. But I am not willingly give up what's mine. He said, this is private property. Trespassers will be eaten. Okay. I mean, that's just the way it is. And then when those four ran off, well, guess what? There's still this huge wildebeest sitting there waiting to be eaten. He called out to his family and the whole pride came and feasted on the spoils. Folks, when you refuse to mark your territory and protect your borders, you have no spoils. You have no spoils. Someone comes in, the thief comes in and takes everything that belongs to you. And you walk, the child of God, walking around impoverished. What kind of sense does that make? Child of the Most High God, know that my God shall supply your every need. Walking around talking about, I don't have this and I don't have that and I can't do this. Knowing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Knowing that if you lack wisdom, you just need to ask God. And which we say, I don't know what to do. I don't know. It just came on me suddenly. I don't know if I could take this anymore. You want to scream out and say, shut up. You're having what you say. And every time you do that, you're taking paint and you're covering your no trespassing sign. So the enemy doesn't know now that it's private property. He'll just come right in. You have to understand. I have to understand. We all need to understand who we really are.
Amen.
And start thinking about that. Renewing our mind on that. That we are the trustees of this planet.
Yes, sir.
And what we say goes. Period. We need to get out of politics and start speaking kingdom business. Forget about the Tea Party, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Right for Life, Wrong for Life, whatever kind of life you want to live life. None of that matters. All that matters is, what did thus saith the Lord? Because that's what I am going to back. Period. How are you going to back it? I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to go to my Father and I'm going to use the keys that he gave me. And I'm going to open the bind door and I'm going to throw in all this chaos and all this confusion and all this bisexuality and all this other nonsense, and then I'm locking it.
Hallelujah.
And I'm loosing grace and peace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm loosing the divine healing that has already been given.
Yes, yes.
I'm loosing the resources that have already been provided.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not speaking and getting in agreement with all this nonsense. I am protecting my territory, my borders. I'm establishing my boundaries. I don't care who the actor and actresses are in this particular movie or whatever. Because of the content of it, it's not going through these eyes.
Amen.
I'm not going to listen. How many of you would let someone come up to you and you'd stay there for 90 minutes and let someone just curse at you? But we'll watch a movie that's loaded with profanity and say, this is one of the best movies I ever saw. But then we'll wonder, why is all this smut out there? We enjoy it. We like the storyline. That's what we like, the character. Oh, there was a line in this movie that, it was just so good. It was profane. We watch these love scenes. I was guilty of it because I'm a soft heart, you know. I'm a romanticist, so to speak. But we'll watch something and say, "Oh, this is romantic." Yeah, but they ain't married, and they wind up in bed together. So that's no longer romantic. Now it's sinful. So why are we sitting down enjoying it, covering up? Or no trespassing sign. So why is that important? Well, the enemy, he clearly sees the sign because we've been marked with the blood of Christ. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. So he clearly sees it. He knows. But as he watches, he sees us do things that cover up part of the language on the sign. Now, I can't prove this scripturally, but I always, and you've heard me say this, I don't know how many times, but I always wondered why, since Satan knew Adam's authority, I wonder first of all, or second of all, Satan knew God's authority, but Adam knew God's thoughts. God is omniscient. He knows everything. So that has to mean God knew when Satan showed up at the garden and was about to enter into the serpent. And my question is, why didn't Adam know? Well, because he was distracted. By what? The tree. How can you say that? It's not in the Bible. Well, I think about things. I ponder things. And I want, what made Satan feel so comfortable talking that stuff to Eve in Adam's presence? I mean, I'd have to wonder, you know, if some man just came and started trying to seduce my wife and I'm standing here with her, I'm like, what do they think about me that makes them think this is okay? Oh, no. Caused me to have to do something drastic and make, you know, say, let this shall be for a sign and for signs. Okay. But I think about things like that. So I'm kind of thinking that Adam had to be walking past that tree, you know, and I only use my wife. I'm not going to be looking at anybody else and have you think, oh, God is answering something. No, he ain't answering you anything. Okay. But I look, he goes, man, I wonder how her fruit tastes. You know, and he walk around, do things, and come back. Now, God, he's got to be thinking, God must be keeping something from me. That's not fair. I thought God and I talked about everything. All he had to do was say, God, what I'm feeling, you know, some kind of way about this tree. What's going on here? God would have told him. He'd say, okay, I got it. We'll put this under control. No, but he was thinking about it. So the enemy said, aha, that's how I can get to him. When you think you're alone and no one's hearing you murmur and complain and stuff, the enemy is going, aha. And he comes in, now you're distracted. And you don't see the thief coming. And he comes in and just destroys all of your stuff. Remember I tell you in a minute about being marked by the blood? Remember back in Exodus? When God said he was going to bring one more plague? Right? What was that plague? Right? Every firstborn would die. You know, it didn't happen like in the movie, The Ten Commandments. You know, that's why I enjoy the movie, but read the Bible. Okay. All right. But God is the one that said, I'll bring one more plague. But What caught my attention was, since God said he was going to send one more plague, you would think that the Israelites, they'd be fine. Because he said there'd be such a cry throughout Egypt. He was talking about the Egyptians. He wasn't talking about his children. So you figure, all they should have to do was just kick back. No, the destroyer was coming. And a destroyer only does one thing. Destroys. Destroys what? Whatever is in its path. Destroys it. So God said, I'm going to allow the destroyer to come, but he's not going to destroy my children. So this is what you do. Put blood on the doorposts and the lintel. That's what he said. Put blood on the posts. This doorpost, and the lintels. And I was reading that. I don't know how many times I've read that passage, but I was reading it this time, and a question came up. Why not the door? I mean, the destroyer is not coming through the posts. He come through the door. I'm thinking he might not even look at the posts. No? Well, the door posts support the door. The lintel supports the weight. So, when you fortify the posts and you fortify the structure, nothing's coming in. So when he put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintels, when a destroyer came, he said, this place is fortified. Let me go somewhere else. Okay. All right. You understand that? All right. Well, we've been marked. Jesus said, 1 Corinthians 11, this cup represents the New Testament in my blood. This do ye in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and eat this cup, you do show the Lord's death. You do show that you identify with me until I come. You do show that. You make that's known publicly. You identify with me, so everything I said applies to you. Everything I've done applies to you. Well, when we act like that, the enemy knows. When we don't act like that, it would be as if the Israelites didn't put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. And a destroyer, the thief, it doesn't say he comes and he'll discern who he should kill. No, he comes to kill, steal, destroy, period. But when he comes and he sees private property, no trespassing, and he looks and he sees you there in position, right, watching and praying, walking around, not coming here, making sure that God's scent mark is all around your territory. See, the only reason that lion knew there were intruders because he checked his borders and he made sure. We don't do spiritual checkups. And we don't make sure that we haven't allowed anything else to come in and remark who we are. We have to make sure that our borders stay pure. We have to make sure that we protect what God gave us, period. It's our responsibilities as his representatives, and we need to make sure that we act like it. And we will notice some things changing. Why? Because we have remarked our territory, and we've brought God's glory back into plain view. God didn't cause illness to teach you something. God didn't put sickness on you so you can build up your faith.
All right.
He didn't do that. He told you how faith comes. He didn't say faith comes by sickness, and the sicker you are, the more faith you're going to get. No, he said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Period. That's how it comes. That's how it's... See, it comes by hearing, but it stays by acting.
All right.
See, when you hear the word of God, faith comes. When you act on the word of God, faith stays. And as you continue to act on the word of God, faith grows.
Amen. Okay.
And it grows to the point where it becomes insurmountable. And no matter what happens, you open your mouth, it's done before you even get the words out. I rebuke, and it just drops dead. You just walk on about your business. And you go out looking. That lion knew that there were intruders, there were trespassers out there. He went looking for them. You know when your spirit is troubled about something. Well, I guess God will reveal it in time. He already did. Now you have to go and look for it. All right, Holy Ghost, you guide me. Where is this thing that's causing these thoughts? What's causing all this chaos? Where is it? I'm going to cast it down in the name of Jesus. You just reveal it and it's toast. That needs to be our attitude. And when that's our attitude, you'll see a change.
All right.
You'll see a change. Now, one of the things that we've learned is that there always needs to be demonstration as to what you heard. Because after demonstration, there are manifestations that come. And there's been some things that God has just placed on my heart that we've allowed to get out of hand. And we need, please move this podium for me. And we need to get it corrected today. There's some territories that we need to remark today. Today. Too many of us walking around with symptoms saying that we're sick. Too many. There's too much stuff going on within neighborhoods, within our government, our local government, our national government. There's just too much.
All right.
Now, the Bible clearly says that he will raise, that when the enemy comes in, God will raise a standard against it. When the enemy comes in, I like the translations that I think put it in the proper context. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Okay, not like the enemy come in like a flood. No, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God's going to raise a standard against it. But see, what we need to understand is he's already raised the standard against it. He calls it mankind. We are the standard against anything the enemy has. This is our garden.
Amen.
We are the keepers, the trustees of this estate. So the first thing we're going to do, guys, would you give us our warm music? Okay.